Good morning. We continue with our study of Rav Volbi's World of Friendship. What a wonderful world it will be. And so he had been discussing the different categories of mitzvos that, with a bunch of academics who wanted to understand where and what is the role of mitzvos in a modern society. So Rav Volbi had classified mitzvos in three ways. The first group he called the mitzvos that are the basis for the Jewish nation. These, which include the daily things that we do, the brachos and the tefillah, and the idea of having stable marriages and stable families, and having things in life that we aspire for and add kedusha into them. Like, for instance, things like preparing our food or the way we conduct our business. So in all of these things, Rav Volbi says, yes, there's room for technological advancement, but the technological advancement does not change the rules. Instead, what technology should be doing is help us keep the rules, because ultimately the goal in these mitzvos is to go ahead and develop a sense of identity, Jewish identity, and these things become inherent to the Jewish identity. We don't want to change those, we want to make them. Yesterday, we talked about different mitzvos that are there to help us achieve a kapara. We talked about the Mesota and the Egla Arufa and the punishments of Beis Din, and we said this category of mitzvos depends on the level of the nation. We have to earn the right to have a sense of kapar. We have to live at a certain level so that these tests of purity, these tests of where we stand as a nation, and whether individuals stand alongside us or not, whether those things are deserving. If we are not living up to a certain standard as a nation, why should the individual who wants to be a part of the nation be held to the same standard? And today we're going to look at the last of his groupings. This group is going to be the mitzvos that are active, the things that we do, but they depend on our kavana. And in this group, he says, take for instance the idea of extending a loan. Says Rav Volbi, we have a mitzvah to go ahead to extend loans. Nason titain. We have a responsibility. When somebody wants to go ahead and extend a loan, but is afraid that if I do so, and the person I'm extending the loan to ultimately defaults, that could be a very big tragedy. Says the Torah, don't do that. Yishamer lecha pen yedavar em levavcha b'liyal. Right? Lest you be afraid, and you're going to say, I'm not going to give and extend that loan. The Torah says, Nason titein lo, give the loan. V'lo yeira levavcha besitcha lo. Don't feel bad when you're giving it to him. Now, that loan is an active mitzvah, but there's an active kavana that comes along with it. V'lo yeira levavcha. Don't be afraid. And this idea that we need to have a certain kavana inspires certain halachic strengthenings that come along in the process. The Gemara in Gittin, for instance, tells us that when it came close to Shemitah, and we have a mitzvah called Shemitas Ksafim, Hillel tikein prusbo. Hillel came along and established the idea of prusbo. For what reason? Because what we want to do is make sure shalotin odelas bifnei lovin. We don't want people not to extend loans. Similarly, you walk into Bank Leumi or other Jewish banks, or in places where people went ahead and engaged in monetary deals. The Achronim developed a concept of a heter iska in order to help us make funds available for people to engage in business, knowing full well that in the process there would be something that would look or sound like interest. Now, the Torah tells us we're not allowed to charge interest, we're not allowed to give interest. Anyone who's involved in the process is going to be held liable from a Torah standard. The technological advancement of the concept, the halachic advancement of the concept of a heter iska was there in order to build the heart of the mitzvah and change the details to make it mutter. The driving force, again, was the heart. We are learning Masechta Pesachim in the Daf Yomi, and we had a concept called Bitul Belev. Technically speaking, we hold that just simply coming along and saying Koch Amira makes it so that I have gotten rid of the chametz in my midst. On the other hand, the Chazal, the rabbis were concerned, maybe I'm going to remember the Entenmann's donut box in my basement. And I'm going to say, no, that I wanted. Right? That's what so Chazal came along and said, we need to establish a concept called B'dichas chametz, and we need to establish a concept called Bir chametz. wow, take a look at that concept. On the other side of it, they also used the same principle where we were worried what the person's intention was going to be and established the concept of mechiras chametz, the understanding that I can sell my chametz. The idea, again, coming from the Chazal, was very overt. What's the idea? The idea is that the heart, I want somebody to be able to get rid of all the chametz in his heart, right? And that became fundamental. While we're on the subject of hearts and mitzvos that are dependent on kavana, I work with a lot of people who suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder. And one of the interesting manifestations I unfortunately see quite often are people who come back and say, I didn't have the proper kavana, the proper intent when I said my Shmon Esrei. And so I have to go back and repeat it. Now, technically speaking, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch comes around and says that if a person doesn't have the proper intention, he has to go back and repeat. But the Rama says, not so fast. He says, today we don't go back and repeat simply because there is no kavana, because who says you're going to have kavana the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time? A person has to understand that a person's heart drives him. And so in the later generations, if we understood people are not going to be able to have what they call enough kavana, that's going to be a danger. We have a responsibility to rise to that occasion. We did the same thing with Yibum. Today we don't do Yibum because we're worried that the intention may be a faulty intention. We do it with the mitzvah of Hocheach Tocheach, where we're told, be very careful. Don't reproof somebody unless you're absolutely positive that you're pure-minded within the process. That means don't reproof people. Don't go ahead and give mustard to somebody else. Because what's going to happen? It's going to be dependent on where you are. So we see that these takanos, says Ravolbi, that were lev-based, that were based on the heart, those things, on the one hand, give room for tikkunim, for changes, and means for us to be able to do what we can to strengthen the heart, but at the same time, not to lose the mitzvah in the process. We have a responsibility to realize that in every single generation, we are always trying to fix the world. And in each step in fixing the world, we have to remind ourselves there are segments of our brethren who walk around with an understanding that tikkun olam, that fixing of the world, is the most important idea that needs to be achieved in life. But before you go ahead and engage in tikkun olam, you have to know what's broken and what needs to be fixed. And that's what we're told, tikkun lekras Elokecha Yisrael. The primary thing, says Ravolbi, is that our goal in preparing, our goal in doing, our goal in listening, our goal in engaging in mitzvos is to do what? To prepare to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, any changes that we're doing, whereby we're avoiding Hashem, that's not a positive change. That's an avoidance. When we do our mitzvos, we look for technological advancements in our mitzvos. We got to do what we can lekras Elokecha Yisrael. So what's our view, our Torah-based view on mitzvos and technological advancement or sociological advancement? If it brings us closer to Hashem, it's an ideal. If it's something that pulls us away, it's a danger. Our goal is not to coexist with God. Our goal is to exist, to serve Him. And in order to serve Him, we got to have room for Him in our world at the center. Have a wonderful, terrific day.